Good evening, everyone, and welcome aboard. This is SCARS, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the SCARS organization and further follows the rules outlined in the FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This SCARS server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System provided by W8MW. And all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off this system and establish your contact direct so that the net may continue. In fairness to all, short time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they check in. Information regarding our operation may be found at SCARSVOIP.com. I am your net control for this session. My call is KE5AOF, and my name is Greg. I am located in the city of Grand Blanc, Michigan, with a temperature of 71 degrees at this present time. Prior to starting, I would like to ask if any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time. That's good, not seeing any. Do we have anyone celebrating their birthday or any other special occasion this week? This is the monthly Thursday Informational Net Open Forum, or TIN for short. This net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects and or other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speaker or speakers. Now let me advise you that all stations connected that this net might be recorded for future presentation on our website as a podcast. All participating will be a part of that recording. At this time right now, I'd like to turn it over to our Commander-in-Chief, KY6B. Gordon, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir. Good evening, and thank you, Greg. I might say you better check your clocks. I think you're about 3 minutes early, which is fine with me. Good evening, everybody. Gordon here, KY6V. And tonight's program will be covering the Internet Morse code. We will be splitting the presentation with the first part talking about the Morse code history and the second part on various recommendations on how to learn the system. So let's get started with our first narrator, Dave, GW8SZL in the UK. Dave, are you ready, sir, from KY6V?
KY6V from GW8SZL, I most certainly am there, Captain. And I'm going to start the program this evening for the Thursday Informational Net, entitled International Morse Code 101. Okay, so let's get this show on the road. Now, Morse code is a method used in telecommunications to encode text characters as standardized sequences of two different signal durations, called dots and dashes, or bits and dashes. Morse code is named after Samuel Morse, one of the early developers of the system adopted for electrical telegraphy. International Morse code encodes the 26 basic Latin letters, A to Z, one accented Latin letter, which is E acute, the Arabic numerals, and a small set of punctuation and procedural signals called prosigns. There is no distinction between upper and lowercase letters. Each Morse code symbol is formed by a sequence of dits and dahs. The dit duration can vary for signal clarity and operator skill. But for any one message, once established, it is the basic unit of time measurement in Morse code. The duration of a dah is three times the duration of a dit, although some telegraphers deliberately exaggerated the length of the dah for clearer signaling. Each dit or dah within an encoded character is followed by a period of signal absence, called a space, equal to the dit duration. The letters of a word are separated by space of duration equal to three dits, and words are separated by a space equal to seven dits. Morse code can be memorized and sent in a form perceptible to the human senses. For example, via sound waves or visible light, such that it can be directly interpreted by persons trained in the skill. Morse code is usually transmitted by on-off keying of an information-carrying medium, such as electric current, radio waves, visible light, or sound waves. The current or wave is present during the time period of the dit or da, and absent during the time between the dits and the das. Now, since many natural languages use more than the 26 letters of the Latin alphabet, Morse alphabets have been developed for those languages, largely by transliteration of the existing codes. To increase the efficiency of transmission, Morse code was originally designed so that the duration of each symbol is approximately inverse to the frequency of occurrence of the character that it represents in text of the English language. Thus, the most common letter in English, the letter E for echo, has the shortest code, a single dit. Because the Morse code elements are specified by proportion rather than specific time durations, the code is usually transmitted at the highest rate that the receiver is capable of decoding. Morse code transmission rate, speed, is specified in groups of minute, commonly referred to as words per minute. Now, early in the 19th century, European experimenters made progress with electrical signaling systems, using a variety of techniques, including static electricity and electricity from voltaic piles producing electrochemical and electromagnetic changes. These experimental designs were precursors to practical telegraphic applications. Telegraph key and sounder. The signal is on when the knob is pressed and off when it is released. Length and timing of the dits and das are entirely controlled by the telegraphist. Following the discovery of electromagnetism by Hans Christian Oersted in 1820 and the invention of the electromagnet by William Sturgeon in 1824, there were developments in electromagnetic telegraphy in Europe and America. Pulses of electric current were sent along wires to control an electromagnet in the receiving instrument. Many of the earliest telegraph systems used a single needle system, which gave a very simple and robust instrument. However, it was slow, as the receiving operator had to alternate between looking at the needle and writing down the message. In Morse code, a deflection of the needle to the left corresponded to the dit, and a deflection to the right to a da. The needle clicked each time it moved to the right or left. By making the two clicks sound different, by installing one ivory and one metal stop, transmissions on the single needle device became audible as well as visible, which led in turn to the double plate sounder system. Now, William Cook and Charles Wheatstone in Britain developed an electrical telegraph that used electromagnets in its receivers. They obtained an English patent in June 1837 and demonstrated it on the London and Birmingham Railway, making it the first commercial telegraph. Carl Friedrich Gauss and Wilhelm Eduard Weber in 1833, as well as Carl August von Steinheil, 1837, used codes with varying word lengths for their telegraphic systems. Now, in 1841, Cook and Wheatstone built a telegraph that printed the letters from a wheel of typefaces struck by a hammer. The American artist Samuel Morse, the American physicist Joseph Henry, and mechanical engineer Alfred Vail developed an electrical telegraph system. The simple on-off nature of its signals made it desirable to find a method of transmitting natural language using only electrical pulses and the silence between them. Around 1837, Morse therefore developed such a method, an early forerunner to the modern international Morse code. The Morse system for telegraphy, which was first used in about 1844, was designed to make indentations on a paper tape when electric circuits were received. Morse's original telegraph receiver used a mechanical clockwork to move a paper tape. When electrical current was received, an electromagnet engaged an armature. that push the stylus onto the moving paper tape, making an indentation on the tape itself. When the current was interrupted, a spring retracted the actual stylus, and that position of the moving tape remained unmarked. Morse code was developed so that operators could translate the indentations marked on the paper tape into text messages. Okay, this is Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima. Now, is anybody out there listening who would like to check in and have any comments or questions? If so, please call now.
Hotel America.
Okay, I've got the happy amateur, Fred K2HJ. Is there anybody else?
VK2DY, Robert in Sydney.
Okay, we have two fine stations there. We've got Fred K2HA and Robert down there in Kellyville Ridge in Sydney. That's, of course, Victor Kilo 2 Delta Yankee. So I'm going to go to Fred. K2HA, any comments, questions? No, you're just checking in to say hi. From GW8SZL.
Well, thank you, Dave. GW8SZL, this is K2HA, the happy amateur here in Broomall, Pennsylvania. And very interesting, some things there that you mentioned I hadn't known before. And I'm going to have to look some of those devices up. Sounds interesting. Quite different than the way we send Morse code today. So thank you, Dave. Appreciate the presentation. And blessings to everybody that's listening on the net. This is K2HA.
Yeah, K2HA from TW8SZL. There's one thing in there I'm definitely going to be doing a Google search on, and that's that double plate sounder system. It sounds really, really interesting. I can't imagine me actually doing CW with one, but I'm going to do some more investigation into that one for sure. Okay, I'll say 7-3 to you there, Fred. Thanks for popping in and saying hi. Okay, now we're going down to the southern half of the planet, where it's winter. Hi there, Robert, VK2DY, GW8SZL.
GW8SZL, this is VK2DY, Robert in, we'll give the whole tagline, Kellyville Ridge, New South Wales, but all part of the urban sprawl that is Sydney. Yes, indeed, it's winter. It's bitter cold down here. We actually got down to freezing again this morning, 0 degrees, it's only up to 7 Celsius at the moment. I think it's like 47 Fahrenheit. But anyway, it's cold. It's the deepest, darkest, coldest part of the winter here. But at any rate, it was really interesting to hear about the paper tape. You know, when I first started programming, we had a remote system where we typed in our... typed in programs on a paper tape and then fed that paper tape in through a telegraph machine. So it's sort of interesting to see that paper tape was there at the beginning of this whole exercise here. So that was just sort of interesting to me. Anyway, thank you so much for taking my check-in. VK2DY, back to
yeah, VK2DY from GW8SZL. Yeah, paper tape's been around for absolutely donkey years. And not just in the early computing industry, shall we say. But, I just, at the moment we got here now, at 12 minutes past midnight, we're at 15.4 Charlie. It got up to 26C today, mid-afternoon. And tomorrow's going to be a little bit warmer here. So nice and warm even at this time of the early morning here at the moment. As I say, it's rare we ever get this warm anyway, so it's nice when it happens. Okay there, Robert, do you have anything further before I pass it on over to the next narrator from GW8SZL?
No, thank you very much. That's it. I'll be listening to learn how to learn Morse code. That's something I've not been successful at lately or ever. Thank you again, VK2DY.
Yeah, okay there, Robert. We were sort of many, many years ago. If somebody you had it was good at music, they would normally could find learning CW a lot easier than somebody who did not come from a musical background. That's a story for another time. Okay, thanks, Robert. I'll clear with VK2DY. And I'm looking for the Chief. Of course, that's Whiskey for Radio Frequency Junkie. And if you, I know you're out there. I see you on the fog. W4RFJ, it's all yours, my friend, from GW8SZL.
Okay, Dave, thank you very much. This is W4RFJ in Rainbow Springs. I have no idea what the temperature is. It's hot. Did notice a cool breeze coming in from the Gulf of Mexico, so that might help out a little bit. But to carry on with the TIN here, in his earliest design for a code, Morse had planned to transmit only numerals and to use a code book to look up each word according to the number which had been sent. However, the code was soon expanded by Alfred Vail in 1840 to include letters and special characters so it could be used more generally. Vail estimated the frequency of use of letters in the English language by counting the movable type he found in the type cases of a local newspaper in Morristown, New Jersey. The shorter marks were called dots, and the longer ones, da's. Some of the text is being covered up here. Give me just a moment. All right. So the short ones were called dots and the longer ones dashes, and the letters most commonly used were assigned the shortest sequences of dots and dashes. This code, first used in 1844, was what later became known as Morse landline code. American Morse code, or Railroad Morse, until the end of the railroad telegraphy in the U.S. in the 1970s. The Morse code, as specified in the current international standard, International Morse Code Recommendation, ITU RM1677-1, was derived from a much improved proposal by Friedrich Gerk in 1848 that became known as the Hamburg alphabet. Its only real defect being the use of an excessively long code, dit, da, dit, 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 and later the equal duration code, da, 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 for the frequently used vowel O. Now, Gerk changed many of the code points in the process doing away with the different length dashes and different inter-element spaces of American Morse, leaving only two coding elements, the dot and the dash. Codes for German umlauted vowels and letter group Charlie Hotel were introduced. Gerk's code was adopted in Germany and Austria in 1851. This finally led to the International Morse Code in 1865. The International Morse Code adopted most of Gerk's code points. The codes for O and P were taken from a code system developed by Steinheil. A new code point was added for J, since Gerk did not distinguish between I and J, and changes were also made to X, Y, and Z. This left only four code points identical to the original Morse code, namely E is an echo, H is in hotel, K is in kilo, and N is in November. And the latter two had their da's extended to full length. Reset time. Radio telegraphy using Morse code was vital during World War II, especially in carrying messages between the warships and the naval bases of the belligerents. Long-range ship-to-ship communication was by radio telegraphy, using encrypted messages because the voice, because the voice radio systems on ships then were quite limited in both their range and their security. Radio telegraphy was also extensively used by warplanes, especially by long-range patrol planes that were sent out by those navies to scout for enemy warships, cargo ships, and troop ships. Okay, Morse code was used as an international standard for maritime distress until 1999, when it was replaced by the Global Maritime Distress and Safety System. When the French Navy ceased using Morse code on January 31st, 1997, the final message transmitted was calling all. This is our last call before our eternal silence. Morse code speed was measured in words per minute or characters per minute, characters having differing lengths because they contain different numbers of dits and dots. Consequently, words also have different lengths in terms of dot duration, even when they contain the same number of characters. For this reason, some standard word is adopted for measuring operators' transmission speeds. Two such standard words in common use are Paris and Codex. Operators skilled in Morse code can often understand or copy code in their heads at rates in excess of 40 words per minute. Okay, in addition to knowing, understanding, and being able to copy the standard written alphanumeric and punctuation characters for symbols at high speeds, skilled high-speed operators must also be fully knowledgeable of all of the special unwritten Morse code symbols for the standard prosigns for Morse code and the meanings of these special procedural signals in standard Morse code communications protocol. International contests in code copying are still occasionally held. In July 1939, at a contest in Asheville, North Carolina, in the United States, Ted R. McElroy, Whiskey 1 Juliet Yankee November, set a still-standing record for Morse copying. That was set at 75.2 words per minute, peer point, in 2004. Also notes that some operators may have passed 100 words per minute by this time. They are hearing phrases and sentences rather than words. The fastest speed ever sent by a straight key was achieved in 1942 by Harry Tuner, that's Whiskey 9 Yankee Zulu Echo. I'm not sure what the D stands for. I think he might have died in 1992. Who reached 35 words per minute in a demonstration at a U.S. Army base to accurately compare code copying speed records of different eras. It is useful to keep in mind that different standard words, 50 dit duration versus 60 dit durations, and different interword gaps, 5 dit durations versus 7 dit durations, may have been used when determining such speed records. For example, speed runs with the Codex standard word, and the Paris standard may differ by up to 20%. Okay, today among amateur operators, there are several organizations that recognize high-speed code ability. One group consisting of those who can copy Morse code at 60 words per minute, that'll never be me, also certificates of code proficiency, are issued by several amateur radio societies, including the American Radio Relay League. Their basic award starts at 10 words per minute with endorsements as high as 40 words per minute and are available to anyone who can copy the transmitted text. Members of the Boy Scouts of America may put a Morse interpreter strip on their uniforms if they meet the standards for translating code in at 5 words per minute. Okay, now it's time for check-ins. Anybody like to check in, comment, say hi, wave, share some knowledge in Morse code? Please come now, slowly and phonetically. Well, I guess Dave got all the check-ins. All right, hearing none, we'll move on to our next narrator, KO4UMQ, Woody Squared. Come on aboard, Woody. Take up your spot, W4RFJ, passing the reins.
Well, thank you, Chief, and good evening, everyone. This is Woody, KO4UMQ, up here in Baxter, Kentucky, continuing on with our lesson about CW. Morse codes of one version or another have been in use for more than 160 years, longer than any other electrical message encoding system. What is called Morse code today is actually somewhat different from what was originally developed by Vail and Morse. The modern International Morse Code, or Continental Code, was created by Frederick Clemens Girck in 1848 and initially used for telegraphy between Hamburg and Cuxhaven in Germany. Girck changed nearly half of the alphabet and all of the numerals, providing the foundation for the modern form of the code. After some minor changes to the letters and a complete revision of the numerals, International Morse Code was standardized by the International Telegraph Congress in 1865 in Paris, and later became the standard adopted by the International Telecommunication Union, or ITU. Morse and Vail's final code specification, however, was only really used only for landline telegraphy in the United States and Canada, with the international code used everywhere else, including all ships at sea and sailing in North American waters. Morse's version became known as American Morse Code or Railroad Code and is now almost never used, with the possible exception of historical reenactments. Let me turn the page here. International Morse code today is most popular among amateur radio operators in the mode commonly referred to as continuous wave or CW. Other faster keying methods are available in radio telegraphy, such as frequent shift keying or FSK. The original amateur radio operators used Morse code exclusively since voice-capable radio transmitters did not become commonly available until around 1920. Until 2003, the ITU mandated Morse code proficiency as part of the amateur radio licensing procedure worldwide. However, the World Radio Communication Conference of 2003 made the Morse code requirement for amateur radio licensing optional. Many countries subsequently removed the Morse requirement from their license requirements. Until 1991, a demonstration of the ability to send and receive Morse code at a minimum of 5 words per minute, or WPM, was required to receive an amateur radio license for use in the United States from the FCC. Demonstration of this ability was still required for the privilege to use the shortwave bands. Until 2000, proficiency at the 20-word per minute level was required to receive the highest level of amateur license, which is the amateur extra class. And then effective April 15th of 2000, the FCC reduced the extra class requirement to 5 words per minute. Finally, effective on February 23rd of 2007, the FCC eliminated the Morse code proficiency requirements for all amateur radio licenses. While voice and data transmissions are limited to specific amateur radio bands under the U.S. rules, Morse code is permitted on all amateur bands. In some countries, certain portions of the amateur radio bands are reserved for transmission of Morse code signals only. Because Morse code transmissions employ an on-off keyed radio signal, it requires less complex equipment than other radio transmission modes. Morse code also uses less bandwidth, typically only 100 to 150 hertz wide, although only for a slow data rate. Voice communications uses roughly between 2400 to 2800 hertz used on single sideband voice. Let me reset. Morse code is usually received at a high-pitched audio tone, so transmissions are easier to copy than voice through the noise on congested frequencies, and it can be used in very high noise, low signal environments. The fact that the transmitted power is concentrated into a very limited bandwidth makes it possible to use narrow receive filters which suppress or eliminate interference on nearby frequencies. The narrow signal bandwidth also takes advantage of the natural auroral selectivity of the human brain, further enhancing weak signal readability. This efficiency makes CW extremely useful for DX transmissions, as well as for low power transmissions, commonly called QRP operation, for the Q code for reduced power. There are several amateur clubs that require solid high speed copy. The highest of these has a standard of 60 words per minute. The American Radio Relay League offers a code proficiency certificate program that starts at 10 words per minute. Let me turn the page. The relatively limited speed at which Morse code can be sent led to the development of an extensive number of abbreviations to speed up communication. This included prosigns, Q codes, and a set of Morse code abbreviations for typically message components. For example, CQ is broadcast to be interpreted as Seek You. I'd like to converse with anyone who can hear my signal. The abbreviations OM for old man, or YL for young lady, and XYL for ex young lady or wife are common. YL or OM is used by an operator when referring to other operators regardless of their actual age, and XYL or OM rather than the expected XYM is used by an operator when referring to his or her spouse. QTH is transmitting location. Spoken my QTH is my location. The use of abbreviations for common terms permits conversation even when the operators speak different languages. That concludes my portion, so I'm going to see if there's any additional check-ins or if anybody has any comments before I pass it to the next narrator. All right, not hearing none, I'm going to pass it on to Greg, KE5ALF. The mic is yours, sir.
Well, thank you very much, and 73 is to you. Although the traditional telegraph key, otherwise known as a straight key, is still used by some amateurs to use the mechanical semi-automatic keyers, informally called bugs, and a fully automatic electronic keyers called single paddle, and either double paddle or iambic keys, is prevalent today. Software is often frequently employed to produce and decode Morse code radio signals. The Amateur Radio Relay League has a readability standard for robot encoders called ARRL Farnsworth Spacing that is supposed to have higher readability for both robot and human decoders. Some programs like WinMorse have implemented the standard. Morse code has been employed as an assistive technology helping people with a variety of disabilities to communicate. For example, the Android operating system versions 5.0 and higher allow users to input text using Morse code as an alternative to a keypad or handwritten recognition. Morse can be sent by persons with severe motion disabilities as long as they have minimal motor control. An original solution to the problem that caretakers have to learn to decode has been an electronic typewriter with the codes written on the keys. Codes were sung by users. See the voice operator employing Morse code or VOTAM. Morse code can also be translated by computer and used in a speaking communication aid. In some cases, this means alternately blowing into and sucking on a plastic tube, sip and puff interface. An important advantage of Morse code over roll column scanning is that once learned, it does not require looking at a disability. It all appears faster than scanning. Let me buy a nickel here. In one case reported in the radio amateur magazine QST, an old shipboard radio operator who had a stroke and lost the ability to speak or write can communicate with his physician, a radio amateur, by blinking his eyes in Morse code. Two examples of communication in intensive care units was also published in QST magazine. Another example occurred in 1966 when prisoner of war Jeremiah Denton, brought on television by his North Vietnamese captors, Morse blinked the word torture. In these two cases, interpreters were able to understand those series of eye blinks. Let's talk about Farnsworth speed. Sometimes, especially while teaching Morse code, the timing rules above are changed, so two different speeds are used, a character speed and a text speed. The character speed is how fast each individual letter is sent. The text speed is how fast the entire message is sent. For example, individual characters may be sent at a 13 words per minute rate, but the inner character and interword gaps may be lengthened so the word rate is only 5 words per minute. Let me buy a nickel here again. Using different character and text speeds is in fact a common practice and is used in the Farnsworth message of learning Morse code. Some of the learning methods. People learning Morse code using the Farnsworth method are taught to send and receive letters and other symbols at their full target speed. That is, with normal relative timing of the dits, dahs, and spaces within each symbol for that speed. The Farnsworth method is named for Donald R. Russ Farnsworth, also known by his call sign W6TTB. However, initially exaggerated spaces between symbols and words are used to give thinking time to make the sound shape of the letters and symbols easier to learn. The spacing can be reduced with practice and familiarity. Another popular teaching method is the coach method, invented in 1935 by the German engineer and former stormtrooper Ludwig Coach, which uses the full target speed from the outset but begins with just two characters. Once strings containing those two characters can be copied with 90% accuracy, an additional character is added, and so on until the full character set is mastered. In North America, many thousands of individuals have increased their code recognition speed after initial memorization of the characters by listening to the regularly scheduled code practice transmission broadcast by W1AW, the Amateur Radio Relay League's headquarters station. As of 2015, the United States military taught Morse code as an 81-day self-paced course, having phased out more traditional classes. Let me reset here real quick. We are about to close, but before doing so, allow us to drive the subject home. Practice makes perfect, or better said, success is directly proportional to the amount of practice put forward. You should try to put in 15 to 30 minutes a day of practice. This is recommended to be 15 in the morning and 15 later in the day. Also, please remember that you can send faster than you can receive. This being because you know what you are sending and do not know exactly what you are about to receive. Again, this being the case, spend more time practicing the receive sign. At this time, I'm going to do a last call for check-ins or comments. If there's anybody out there, please respond now. Okay, thanks for coming by and good luck. This has been the SCARS VOIP, and this is KE5 AOF saying 73 and closing this session.